What is that, a walking frog? Like, what is it?
It's kind of our, we call it our Cyclops Yeti.
Oh my God, I love that. Hello and welcome back to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast, a beer can lover production. We are the craft beer podcast for lovers of all things creative and visual, but not necessarily drinkable in the craft beer industry. I'm your host, Jenna Steele, and I'm back here this week, and I'll be here every week so that you can hear my interviews and conversations with other beer can lovers, brewers, artists, and more. We're gonna get to hear the stories and people behind some of our favorite breweries and beer labels. So if you love craft beer and aesthetically pleasing things, this is the podcast for you. So today I'm super excited because we have an interview with Living Waters Brewing, and I just absolutely love everything that they do, and their artwork is literally just beautiful. My favorite, I think, in particular is Mila. It's this light pink can with this, what's it called? A stingray. Yeah, a stingray, right? And I just love what they do. I'm obsessed with this one in particular, but seriously, like, all of their cans are just incredible, and their bottles as well. They have such incredible bottles, and I love that they have colorful wax, and I just love it all. So listen in today. We have that interview, so I'm super excited to be able to share that with you now. And guess what? So this episode actually is sponsored by a new book and company that, if you like beer and you drink outside, I think you're gonna love it. So it's called The World Greatest Backyard Games from Backyard Games World. So in this book, you can learn the ins and outs, history, rules, and so much more about the best yard games from around the world. The World's Best Backyard Games is the definitive book on the top yard games from the 6 of the world's 7 continents. So it's an encyclopedia of yard games that teaches readers about the world's 29 greatest games, ranging from classics such as Italy's Bocce to Spain's Caliche. Oh gosh, I hope I'm saying that right. And the Native Americans' Cherokee marbles to newcomers such as the U.S. Spikeball and Ethiopia's Corbo. Ooh, there's a lot more games that I don't know about. But anyway, so you can find it at yardgamesworld.com and check out Yard Games' Instagram at yardgamesworld and support them, because this book is super cool and I feel like goes hand in hand with drinking beer. So before we get into the interview, one last note, just make sure to click follow or subscribe or whatever the button says wherever you are listening to this. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, I would really appreciate if you would let me know what you're thinking. So if you're loving it, 5 stars, and let me know what you think in the reviews. I would love that. But if you want to see what we're talking about today, I'll be posting some pictures of the beers that we're talking about so that you can follow along at Beer Can Lover on Instagram. And that's all. So let's get into this interview. Super excited. And here we go. I'm so excited today. I am interviewing Ryan McKay, the owner and brewer at Living Waters in Nashville, East Nashville, yeah?
Yep.
And I'm so excited. I really love your guys' brand, everything you do. And I just want to chat with you, learn more about it, learn more about the brewery, and get going. So how have you been? What have you been up to lately? A lot of brewing?
Yeah, a lot of brewing. We actually just finished blending together a barrel-aged stout that we'll be releasing as part of our anniversary and the Great America Beer Festival. And so we got a couple interesting designs coming out with that too. So,
oh, awesome. When's the anniversary?
So we're celebrating our 2nd anniversary in the first week of August.
That's so exciting. So wait, so you opened then August 2019?
Yeah, toward the tail end of July and beginning of August.
Mm-hmm. So wow.
Right, just enough time to go to the pandemic, so.
Yeah,
good
literally. Was it like a ton more cans and stuff during the pandemic?
Yeah, so we weren't really doing any canning prior to the pandemic, just kind of crawlers and whatnot. And then whenever everything shut down, we ordered a canning line. It took us about 3 months to get it.
Oh, wow.
That's what it was kind of looking like at the time. And then started canning in July/June, late June, early July of 2020. So then it's just been crazy since then.
Oh, wow. That's crazy because I see your guys' cans and it's amazing that you didn't have that beforehand because, yeah, I mean, you could have, if you can just do it with the, you know, the growler and the local business, you don't need it, but I just love it for the branding and hope that it's just more fun too for everyone involved.
Yeah, no, we enjoy it. I like kind of like going additional layer of depth when it comes to all of our different beers and the names and whatnot, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, before we dive into the beers and the brewery, I want to learn a bit more about you. And so, first off, where are you from originally? Where did you grow up? And then I saw you were in IT before opening the brewery. And I'm so curious how you go from that to this. Yeah, so what's that been like? Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and then from there kind of went to school out in California and then lived a little bit of time in Germany and Japan.
Oh,
so
cool.
I've been a little bit of everywhere and settled in Tennessee about a little over 10 years ago and was just kind of doing IT work remotely and did a lot of travel. And so I got to experience a lot of different beers from all over the country and all over the world. Which is fantastic, except for I just wanted to kind of have some of those beers that I really enjoyed closer to home. And so that's kind of why I got into brewing my own.
Did you start off home brewing?
Yeah. Home brewed for about 2 years. But I had been trading beer and doing all that for about 8 years before I started home brewing. So I kind of had a good idea of like what the beer that I wanted to brew tasted mm-hmm. like, and what I wanted to kind of push the boundaries of. And then, yeah, just kind of dove in headfirst into commercial brewing, which has been...
Oh, wow. So you've the only brewery you've ever worked at is your own. That's crazy. I love that. That's so much fun. What are some of the first beers that you had... you know, homebrewed that you were like, these need to be the ones, like what beers were they?
Yeah. So, a lot of what I enjoy drinking was kind of New England style IPA. So from the likes of like Hetty Topper, Sip of Sunshine, things like that, kind of the OG Treehouse. And then, so that's kind of what I dove into making a lot of, as well as just, you know, your strong stouts, sweet stouts, things like that. So when we opened, we really only opened with three different kinds of beer, which was a sour, traditional style Goza, as well as like New England IPAs and stouts. And I think we opened in end of July and we had like seven stouts on the menu because that was what I kind of wanted to focus on. Kind of like blew everybody away, you know, 100 degrees, I'm serving stouts.
Yeah. I love that. But so also coffee, right? So I'm very confused and curious, and I want to learn more about and just hear about the coffee bar and kind of how the coffee plays into what you do. So you serve beer, you also serve coffee and espresso, and it seems like there's a lot of passion behind both of those things. And so I'd love to know how did that come to be? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, so whenever we were in the process of starting the brewery, you know, my business partner and I, Thomas, who does a lot of our cellar operations, we wanted to add some coffee to some of our homebrew and got to talking with somebody that we had known for a while who was working at a local coffee shop here, kind of was handling their quality control, and he wanted to start up his own coffee shop. And we just thought it was a good merging of talents because he's very into coffee. And, you know, so he's taught us a lot about single origin coffee and ethically sourcing coffee. And rather than using blends, using these coffees that you can bring out a lot of fruit flavors, which, you know, when you have a coffee that tastes like blueberries and it's just like a black coffee, it kind of blows your mind. And so we've been able to bring that in. So we brought him on as a partner, and he's running the coffee side of the business. I don't touch it. And, you know, I run the beer side of things. And so we kind of have like an in-house collaboration anytime we do a coffee beer. Where they're teaching me how better to extract coffee. And I'm trying to scale that up to commercial levels and do these big batches of coffee stock, which we've been pretty successful at. So
that's so awesome. And I love how, you know, I feel like there's people who don't know craft or beer, and then there's, you know, the people who do, and everything involved, all the flavors, different notes and everything, and different styles. But what's so interesting that I never really knew that I know exists, but I'm not, I don't know much about, is people are the same way with coffee. And there's so much variety. And I'm just like, I don't know. I just drink black coffee from a Keurig. But it's like, I feel like that to the coffee people sounds like me being like, yeah, should I just go pick up some Natty Light to us? So I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. But I think that's really cool. So is it, because I know at least, so I'm in Atlanta and a lot of the tap rooms open around 3 p.m. And so with the coffee, obviously, what does that do to the business? Is it, are you open early? And do you serve beer that early?
So legally in the state of Tennessee, we are allowed to serve beer from, I think it's like 5 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. There's like a 2 hour gap. So we're basically open and serving beer from 8 a.m. whenever we open until 8 p.m. when we close. Pre-pandemic, that was 10 p.m. But that's, you know, 7 days a week. Yeah. The only exception is Sunday. We're open at 8, but we can't legally serve until 10 a.m. But yeah, we serve all day round because there's no reason not to if people want to get beer. We get a lot of people coming in that are nurses or doctors coming off of the EM shift. And, you know, for them, it's like they've had a whole day. So they're ready for their beer.
Been on their feet 12 hours. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then just out of curiosity, then is there a decent amount of like coffee sales at night?
So coffee kind of winds down. You know, we'll have some decaf and, you know, and there are some people that are crazy like me who will get like an espresso with like a stout or whatever.
There's a lot of that kind of like me. I'm like, I like espresso martinis. I don't know if that's like if I'm going, I don't know. I can see if I'm at a brewery and then I'm thinking the night might not be over. I'm like, yeah, we can do some espresso here.
Yeah, you know, I should totally do that.
I got to ask you this. So I gave my friend, my friend's boyfriend, forget what exactly it was. It was a coffee stout from Steady Hands here in Atlanta. And I bought a 4-pack and I honestly don't like stouts. And so I gave him, I was like, do you want at least one of them? I bought him for the cool cans. And he was like, I'm scared to drink it because every time I want to go drink it, it's like 8 p.m. and I don't want coffee. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean it's caffeinated. And we just had this whole conversation. And so I feel like you might know. Is it caffeinated?
So, I mean, technically speaking, yes. But it's not going to be the same, right? It depends on how the brewery added it. But like a lot of breweries, you know, we don't do this, but a lot of breweries will use cold brew or cold brew concentrate, which is very caffeinated, to a beer. But if they're adding in like 5 gallons, 10 gallons, 30 gallons, right, you're still diluting that with beer, right? And so you may have a 500 gallon batch that you're adding 30 gallons of cold brew to, but like,
how much is that caffeine really?
Yeah, like that's, it's not, you're not going to notice the effects.
Sorry. So is it ever beans that you're?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on the brewery and their process. I mean, any way that you can think of to extract coffee and how we would do coffee today, people have pretty much tried. A lot of breweries will grind up the coffee beans and recirculate the beer over the coffee beans. And so mm-hmm. that's just like any other traditional yeah. cold brew or extraction. You're going to get some caffeine extraction from that. But
not much.
It's not going to be the same.
Yeah. And with,
and I think it's just, it's a ratio thing, right?
100%. I'm like, my whole thing is that I want to talk about the cans and the marketing and not about the actual brewing process. Cause there's enough yeah. people that do that. And then I'm like, wait, so how do you get the coffee in it? So whoopsie there. But, so, okay, back, we're still on your background here. So,
yeah.
So I want to know, do you remember, sorry, can you hear my dog?
A little bit, but it's fine.
Whiskey, you got to stop it, boy. Yeah, I named my dog Whiskey and then started a beer thing. So I want to know, do you remember the very first beer you ever drank and or first craft beer?
It was a Dunkel beer. It's kind of like a local, you know, city's brew pub kind of thing in Heidelberg, Germany.
Oh, so. Cool. I love that. And do you remember? So, okay, then I guess you were in Germany. Do you remember the first craft brewery in the U.S. you like stepped foot into?
Oh, first one I stepped foot into, probably... Honestly, Santa and Darius Rustic Ales is probably the first I stepped foot into out in Capitola, California.
What was that like? Like, were you always like a beer person? Did you always know you like different styles, or was it kind of like a awakening?
No, you know, the first craft beer I ever had was a Stone IPA, and that was great. You know, I tried a lot of different early in the microbrewery kind of movement out in California. You know, I got to try some Pliny and a few different things in the craft movement. That was great. And so it was just kind of beer can taste amazing. Cause like most of the beer I had ever had was in Europe and it was great. But then when you come back to the US and you get some Miller Lite and some other things, it's like, okay, this is not as flavorful. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it was great. But in general, I've always just been into beverage, whether that's like craft wine or cocktails, you know, and craft cocktails is where I really kind of got into more of the craft oriented things. And then beer was the next progression on that. So,
oh, cool. That's funny. I feel like people rarely, the whole craft cocktail thing, like I love, but I feel like maybe even especially though today, a lot are coming out and I feel like, I don't know. There's some people have like weird feelings about it. It's like, is it just a mixed drink? What is this? But, no, I had one yesterday. There's a new brand in Atlanta. I think it's ASW Spirits, maybe. They're a new craft cocktail here that I think is awesome. So you were in California, that you were in school out in California and that's where you were mm-hmm. trying these breweries.
Yeah. Yeah. So combination of that and then just also travel for work. I got to, you know, be out in Capitola in that area and yeah, actually sought out, Santander's just because I had heard that they had great products.
Yeah.
So it was great IPAs, great saisons, great porter. Some really, really fantastic beer.
That's awesome. So with the brewery, so you've been there now like 2 years, I want to know, and I'm just so curious. I know you said you have two other partners. One was like the music focused, and one was the other the coffee.
Yeah. So Thomas used to be in the music industry, and now he handles. You know, we do the brews together, and then he's handling most of the cellaring operations. Mm-hmm. So basically, kind of following the protocols that he and I have set in place with our cellarmen as well, and then Gentry handles front of house as well as a coffee program.
Cool. So then it was the three of you starting this out. How did you, you know, pick the name and the concept? whose vision was that? Was it kind of collaborative? Like, how did you get to be Living Waters? Is there water in Nashville? I've never I've never been in Nashville. I'm like, is there water there?
Yeah, no, so we have the Cumberland River here. I mean, that's not the reasoning behind the name. The name is actually a double entendre. So the primary meaning of living waters is any moving body of water is considered, in quotes, living water. So that's why all of our beers are actually named after rivers and waterfalls. So like Mina, for example, which was a recent kind of like a pina colada inspired goza that we did, is named Mina because there is a waterfall in Puerto Rico that is called Mina. And the bird that is on the can is actually a Tangier, which is one of the birds from Puerto Rico. And the pina colada kind of could have been invented in Puerto Rico. So we try to tie everything into that. All of our beers that are waterfalls are meant to be consumed quickly. So you don't want to like age if it's stout, like a barley wine age that's named after a river. And we try to tie it directly to where we're from, if I can.
Yeah. So. Do you ever have like, is there anything like super strong? You're like, this is the Atlantic.
We've been debating when to start naming things after like oceans, but you know, right now we're kind of like sticking to just rivers and waterfalls.
Yeah. I mean, you'll never run out.
Yeah, there's a lot. The problem that we have is a lot of them are hard to pronounce.
Yeah. What's the river here that everyone knows? I'm not from here, but the Chattahoochee or something. And I'm like, what is that?
I mean, there's a lot of rivers that are, you know, Native American or Native names, and I, you know, struggle to pronounce them and don't really.
Yeah, that's like my where I grew up, my like family where they live, the house kind of backs up to a nature preserve, which everything in it is named after all the indigenous things. And so I never knew like certain things were like weird words until you like move away from home. Like you grow up sometimes knowing, being like, oh, that's just the name of the street. And it's like, that's not a normal thing to know how to pronounce. Okay. So, oh, and the other thing I want to ask you. So I went to school up in the Finger Lakes. Have you done anything with those? Cause there's also great breweries up there. So I feel like,
yeah,
could there be like a collab with like Finger Lakes or Lake Erie? Or, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'd love to do, I mean, unfortunately, we've spent more time in lockdown here in Nashville as a brewery than we have outside of it, ironically. And so obviously that's going to change as things are reopening and whatnot. But so we haven't gotten to do many collaborations, but we actually are doing a collaboration tomorrow with Dissolver, and we'll be kind of working with Vince and that crew. But you know, beyond that, you know, we're hoping this year we'll get to do some more. But in answer to your question, we haven't really named anything after the Great Lakes. Would love to, especially if we're doing some kind of collaboration up there. Most of our names end up being from regions like the continental Europe and Africa, South America, you know, things like that.
Cool. I love that. So one of the reasons I love you guys so much and your cans and everything, or one can that sticks out to me the most is it Mila?
Mila. Mm-hmm.
One, it's pink. I love that. But also, so I used to work in the British Virgin Islands teaching scuba diving. And so I've spent a lot of time on the water, a lot of time in different bodies of water, mainly in the British Virgin Islands. I worked in the Bahamas for a while, and I taught a course in this quarry in Pennsylvania once, though. That was a miserable experience. It's like a 8-millimeter wetsuit, like not fun. But so yeah, that's like, you know, I spent so much time with this company in the British Virgin Islands, and part of it was giving like nightly presentations about marine life and overfishing and all that stuff. And so while I am the least science person ever, I do love like marine animals and the Stingray I just love so much. Before we get too much into the beer cans itself again, I see it behind you, and I also saw online earlier the mural that you guys have. And, you know, the things that I love about the craft brew industry is, you know, can art, the labeling, you know, the artistic side, and but also like just cool tap rooms with cool artwork and graffiti and murals and everything going on. And so when you were starting out your brewery, like, what did you want it to feel like when you stepped into it? Like, what kind of vibe were you going for? What did you kind of imagine for it? And then how is it coming? Like, how has it come along? And I'd love to hear about like the mural and, you know, the artists that you got to do it and everything.
Yeah, no. So whenever we first opened, we wanted to be focused on having a good taproom experience. You know, I'd been into so many different tap rooms where it's just kind of a picnic table and, you know, the tap room is not the focus. It was just mainly, you know, how do we make a brewery and then how do people sit in here, you know? And so getting to actually like design the tap room to be more of like a chill vibe where it's more like a study slash hang or even like a date night kind of vibe was kind of what we were going for. Was a lot of fun. And it's definitely, I don't know if you've been in, but it's, I think we accomplished that, and we get a lot of compliments on it being a very relaxed environment, not your typical brewery vibe. And that's what we're going for. And and then for the mural, you know, we didn't have anything on the outside of the building, but on the inside, as you were walking in, we actually had Tara Aversi do a mural. She's, her handle is like TMA Murals. And we wanted it to be kind of a welcoming. So as you like walk in, your first thing that you should see is the bartender instead of like walking into just like a plethora of people, which is an experience I had a lot in bars where you're just like walking in, then you feel immediately uncomfortable because you're surrounded by 100 people that you don't know. Which, even though I'm an extrovert, that just freaks me out. So like I wanted it to be more of a, like you walk in and, you know, you see a giant wave on the wall and just kind of like, you get to like slowly kind of introduce yourself to the environment. And I think we did that pretty well. And then just recently we got our mural on the outside. Just wanted to have something people could see from the road and kind of represent us and some of our creatures. So we were going for the weird vibe and scientific because that's who we are. We're just kind of a little strange and scientific and trying to do fun things. So
I love that. So it, I think I saw that it, it used to be a church or something.
Yeah, I think so. In our complex, I think it's like three buildings, and Grimey's, which is the record store next door, they moved into like the OG church building, which has like a lot of hardwood and kind of cool. And we moved into, I guess, like the giant metal building. So, but yeah, like completely gutted it and just kind of started from scratch. So it's just concrete.
That's so much fun. I feel like that's just so fun to be able to like take a blank place and be like, all right, what are we going to do with it? And something I really love about your guys' place, and I feel like it's the stout lover in you coming out, is like all of the leather, and it's like, you know, some parts of it are look a bit more, you know, it has the blue, so, and you know, the waves and the blue, and it's a little bit more airy and light, like the water, like that. But I feel like parts of it are almost like kind of like, you know, the dark wood leather, like cigar clubby kind of like, it's a much more like sophisticated brand overall, like your social media, but also like your tap room and everything. It gives me a much more like a very sophisticated feel compared to a lot are that I also love, but are like very more like whimsy and colorful. Was that like design? You like, are you more of like a muted color?
I think from a branding perspective, we want it to be more of a, not like, I don't know. I take beer seriously. And like I dive for hours into the science behind it. Right. And well, you know, it can also be very fun and, you know, lighthearted. And that's what beer is meant to be. Like, there, like, some things I think should be sophisticated and spent. And so that's why we kind of went that direction. But also, like, we're very playful with our designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, you buy like a pink stingray, you know, on Mila. So, I mean, it's like, I think it's a balance, right? You can be sophisticated, but you can also be lighthearted.
Yeah. And I feel like you guys have such a good balance. Like, I don't know. It just, like, looking at the tap room, looking at some pictures of it now, even. And I really love what you guys did. So, I don't know. Awesome. So, but with the mural and the artist, so I think, I don't know much about Nashville, but I do know that I've seen like a bunch of murals in different places and stuff. What was that like, you know, finding someone to do that? And is that who does your can art? Who does do your can art?
Yeah. So, we got introduced to Tara through our interior designer, who is a friend of mine who lives on the east side. And she did the interior. And then, as you know, our next door neighbor is Grimey's, and so they regularly will have murals that are put up for different bands and artists mm-hmm. that are, you know, releasing a new album. And so we got introduced to our other artist, Kim Radford, who was doing several different murals on the outside of Grimey's. And she and I just kind of struck up a conversation as she was painting a mural and trying to like take breaks because it's hot in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I think it was also in the middle of the pandemic. And so it's just like, you didn't talk to anybody. It's just like, oh, okay. You know? And yeah. Anyway, so.
So struck up a longer conversation than typical.
Yeah. Yeah. And she thought it would be fun. And so we kind of like came up with a few different concepts, but, our design is actually done by Connor Dwyer, and his Instagram handle is ConnorTD. And so he does a bunch of design work for different musicians in town, as well as photo shoots and all manner of things. But he really wanted to do some beer can art, and we kind of connected, and took us a while to kind of work our way through like what design kind of fit our vibe. But then we've kind of settled in on the creatures and different animals, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so we kind of mutually inspire each other. And so I'll kind of come up with the concepts of like, I would love to do a Tangier because of the connection with the beer. And then he is just an amazing illustrator. And so he does a fantastic job with
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And so something I often ask is like, you know, because everyone does it differently. What comes first, like chicken or the egg, the beer or the can? And obviously you guys were doing, you know, did cans afterwards, but now that you do have your canning line going and, you know, are working with him, is it ever like, this would be a cool can, what's the beer? Or does the can ever, like, is there ever an idea first beer second, or you brew it and then you're like, okay, this beer would match this?
Yeah, so for most of our can art, we're doing the beer first and then trying to find something that fits in the origin, because we're really focused on single origin and where our ingredients are sourced from, right? And so I try to tie it to like local ingredients from those areas. But if it's some of our upcoming designs like Dyson Sphere and Stellar Engine, those are more of like, this would be a really cool design and I think fits in with a greater vision for, you know, our blended barrel age program.
Yeah.
And so that's more of like design first and then matching the beer with the design. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of both, but mostly when it comes to can art, it's mostly, this is the beer and then finding a design that fits with that.
Yeah. So, okay. So you kind of mentioned it and I've been dying to ask you, okay, so I'm looking at the Highgate, is that?
Yeah, so you're looking at the Highgate design?
Yeah, what is that, a walking frog? Like, what is this?
it's kind of our, we call it our Cyclops Yeti.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, it's just a weird creature that he's carrying a cauldron, and that's kind of a call out to kind of a darker story, but so many, like, I don't know if you've heard about the origin of like brewing and witches and the connection between like brewers and witches. Oh, but
no.
Back way, way, way back when, the predominant thing was there were many women that actually brewed beer. And so they would have a sign on the outside of their house that would have like a cauldron on it with like a cat. And they would have cats. And that's whenever men kind of tried to force their way into the brewing industry back in those days, they called them witches and kind of to take over brewing. But that was how, like, you would have a cat because you were trying to get rid of mice to keep them away from the malt.
Oh, and, my gosh.
Yeah. So there's like a whole thing with that.
That's fascinating. I've never heard that. Or maybe I have and I forgot, but I don't think I have.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. But like that's kind of our Highgate is our series, which is our experimental series, which is why we have the cauldron there. Just kind of us experimenting, but also it's kind of this idea and call out to like, hey, like women used to run this industry. Like it wasn't done by men.
That's so interesting.
But now, yeah. Anyways, it's sad and dark, but it's the reality. So,
well, I love that design. okay, I'm looking at your Stellar Engine and Dyson Sphere.
Yep.
So, okay, that's not water. That is space. That is the antithesis of water, is leaving the Earth's atmosphere. Or someone wanting water on Mars will yell at me for that, I guess. But what's up with that? Are you just really excited that the government finally admitted there's aliens? Do you believe in aliens? Are you trying to hit up Elon? Are you trying to go to space? What's going on here?
No, I mean, I'm a nerd, right? So science fiction and all that has always fascinated me. And so, like, I do. So,
oh, so you, some think of our names, you think it's fiction?
Oh, I mean, these are. So, Dice, I'm not going to say aliens are fiction. I think aliens are real. But these particular constructs are ideas or concepts, right? Mm-hmm. So, a Dyson sphere is a way of extracting power from the sun by building this ginormous, basically, solar array around a sun, right? And a stellar engine is basically using either a bunch of different Dyson spheres or this gigantic construct to basically propel some large structure that can be seen from light years away, right? So that's kind of the general concept of those two designs. But even more than that, it's this idea of like you're moving in space and there are the heavenly bodies and, you know, stars in a lot of ways are related to the ocean and to bodies of water and whatnot. So there is a lot of tie-in in terms of like from a brand perspective, but it's also just really cool stuff.
It's just really cool stuff.
Yeah. And so those are just our blended, our first ever blended unadjuncted stouts, barrel aged.
Sorry, what does unadjuncted mean?
So like, for example, if I was to throw in a bunch of cinnamon or vanilla or pastries, Oreos into a stout, that would be an adjuncted stout. Whereas like a unadjuncted is just like we are utilizing the barrel, the beer that we made that we put into that barrel to hit particular flavor profiles. So it's mainly showcasing our ability as a brewery to actually blend to achieve the same type of flavor profiles that you would expect from a pastry stout. But without using pastries to do it. So it's more of a skill-based thing than, throwing in a bunch of like Oreos.
Is that how that works? Do people literally just throw stuff in?
For
all those, all the marshmallow beers, are people like literally just chucking marshmallows into a vat?
I mean, yeah, they're basically just throwing marshmallows into the boil, but I mean, that doesn't really give you marshmallow flavor. All that's going to ferment out unless you throw in like a ridiculous amount, which a lot of people do. So yes and no. Some of that's just marketing, but yeah.
Cool. So then, okay, just because I want to ask. Okay, so if you could, would you open a brewery in outer space? And do you think there would be special difficulties with it, with like the atmosphere and like the, even if you're like, you know, in oxygen or whatever, I don't know, we're breathing, but like, you know, is brewing in Colorado, like up high, is that different than down, than on a coast? Like,
yeah, absolutely. So your boiling point in Colorado is going to be a lot, different from Tennessee. So you have to burn hotter to, cause you're going to reach a boil at a lower temperature. So that's why it's harder to, like, whenever you're going camping in like the mountains, it's harder to have coffee that tastes good because, you know, you're not able to hit the same temperature cause water's going to boil at a lower temperature. So you're never going to get to that level of extraction that you need for coffee, for example, to extract the flavors that you want. And it's the same with beer. So you have to burn a lot hotter to get it up to the temperatures.
So on Mars,
I mean, it would be very difficult to brew on Mars or in space, but hey, yeah, I'd do it.
That's awesome. It'd
be weird, but I'd do it.
I'm a weird little, oh my God, your new creature. You can have like a weird little alien creature on one of your cans.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going on a tangent. Okay, so do you have, you mentioned a little bit earlier, I think, that you were working on it, but what do you have coming up? Like, do you have any releases that you're really excited about? Is there anything that you're just excited to share, whether it's the beer or, you know, new line, or, you know, you're seeing the artwork coming in?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the two things I'm most excited about are our blended barley wine and our blended stout, Dyson Sphere and Stellar Engine. We're always innovating, always coming up with new things. So this recent Highgate, which is using HBC 586, which is the kind of mango citrus hop, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, we're always trying to make the best beer we possibly can. That's our goal. Now, obviously, it's subjective. It's to my palate. But we literally have made the commitment that if it's not good, then we're going to dump it. So we're not trying to do subpar beer. And that's kind of our mantra, if you will.
Yeah, I love that. Is there, like, in the past year, has there been one in particular that maybe was, like, just challenging to brew, or something that you're just really proud of? Or maybe that got dumped.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, I mean, there's, I mean, every brew is really, really difficult, especially the blended, especially the stouts that are like adjuncted. They can be very, very hard. Especially when you're throwing in so much coconut, it's just like coconut. I hate coconut. I love it and I hate it. So Barrel Age Acheron and Barrel Age Ural, which are two of our coconut beers, were a lot of fun. Acheron especially was great. That was kind of a werewolf design. And we used some coconut and orange peel and vanilla and chocolate from Hacienda Azul, Costa Rica. So it was a single origin cocoa nib from Dandelion Chocolate out in San Francisco. That's probably been my favorite beer in recent memory. Just very, very chocolatey, and the orange peel was a lot of fun, just to kind of add that little note to kind of give that orange chocolate vibe.
So how many oranges does it take to get a note of orange?
A lot.
A lot. Got it.
A lot.
So is there anything that you've tried to make that you really wanted it to come out well and it had to go?
Yeah, no, I mean, we actually did a mango goza a while back, which, just did not pan out. I mean, we kept on throwing more and more mango at it and it just kept on fermenting out. And it's like, yeah, this is my nightmare. So we just kind of, that's one that we dumped and we're just like, this tastes like apples. It tasted like a cider by the end of it. Huh. And it was just like, no, this is not our vibe. And so we dumped it. So,
are there any breweries or brewers that you really admire or have learned from or just enjoy their stuff that that kind of stand out to you?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot. I'd say recently, if I'm looking at like Pilsners and lagers, you know, I've been very fortunate to have gotten to try some Chuckanut, which they're up in Washington. They have some amazing lagers and Pilsners. Peter Allen as well. If I'm looking at like stouts, I mean, obviously Corey at Side Project does a fantastic job and great brewer. Vince from Dissolver has done some great work with lagers and Pilsners and barley wines and a little bit of everything. And I mean, we're collaborating with him tomorrow. So, he's a great guy. And, yeah, I mean, there's a laundry list of just amazing brewers that, you know, I really look up to. We're still the new guys. So, you know, I definitely think we're doing some good stuff, but we have a lot of room to grow.
I mean, my next question is like, you know, are there any goals you have or haven't met yet? But honestly, like in 2 years, you've accomplished a ridiculous amount, like full brewery, you know, so many amazing beers, like great branding, marketing, coolest tap room. Like, seems like you got like a culture going. I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to ask what goals you haven't met yet, because I'm like, how could you have more for just this short amount of time? But yeah, like, what do you think, where do you want to go? Or are there any goals that you have or haven't met
yet? You know, I think for us, we just want to keep it small, right? We're definitely expanding, but like, I would love to brew more lager than we currently are. And we're making strides to go in that direction, as well as just more barrel space. Mm-hmm. You know, I really am passionate about barrel aging beers and blending beers. And so I would like to see that program, you know, expand. And then there's a lot of breweries I would love to collaborate with just to like kind of learn from them and, you know, share what little knowledge I have. But yeah, in terms of like branding and like business objectives, I think, you know, I feel good with where we're at. But in terms of like qualitative beer and where we want to be, we have so much room to grow. And I just want to experiment with everything.
Yeah.
Are you know, there, it's just like a science experiment every day.
So. Yeah. Are there any styles that are either like, you know, popular right now that you just, I don't know if you do like, you know, the whole fruited sour smoothie ordeal, that you're like, this is so popular, I don't want to make this? Or like, does that ever happen?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to throw shade. Just in general, the fruit smoothie beers is not our thing. I mean, we will throw a puree and fruit into our sours, but it's not nearly the level that other folks are doing. And, you know, I've had those beers and they taste great. But
the
that's just not our
thing. The term beer is being used a little loosely these days, I feel like.
Yeah. I would agree. You know, and you could even say the same thing about pastry stouts, right? So, hey, if it's working for them, that's great. I don't want to be known for my fruit smoothie beers. I want to be known for our branding and for our stouts.
Yeah.
And pilsners and lagers and IPAs.
Awesome.
If I could be known for those and, you know, execute, I just want people to think about our beer and think about quality, whatever we put out. That's kind of what I'm focused on.
Are there any new styles that I don't even know right now, like what's up and coming? I feel like it's like lager summer.
It's all lagers.
Yeah, well, then that's in line with what you want to do. Yeah, I feel like...
I'm happy. That's what I like to drink, so...
I'm like, my fridge right now is just full of like double IPAs, fruited sours, and I'm like, I don't, and some stouts. I'm like, I don't want any of it right now. Not that it's not great, but it's not what I'm going for right now.
Too hot.
Yeah,
too hot.
I mean, I was in New York City 2 weeks ago, and it was 101, and I'm out in Brooklyn and they're like, do you want to try our new stout? And I'm like, no, honestly, I don't. I will. but I really don't want to. Do you have water? Yeah, and then just to kind of, you know, end things here, just a little bit about, I think we've kind of touched on this, but your favorite type of beer to drink and brew. It sounds like you like drinking and brewing stouts, lagers. But what about, like, you know, when you have, I mean, I guess it's different, or maybe you're back with it now with COVID and everything. If you have, like, you know, friends over,
mm-hmm.
who exist in their own world that is not the craft brew world, what yep. are you, what are you serving them?
I mean, I have all my beers in the fridge at home, but
you're like, we have 12 fridges.
No, we try to do a system at the brewery where we do more of a, I don't know if you've ever been to Attaboy in Nashville or in New York City, but their system really impressed me in terms of, and this is kind of dancing around the question, but I try to come to people where they're at. So I don't say, hey, try this wonderful beer, try this wonderful beer. It's like, what are you into? Do you like sours? Do you like IPAs? Like, do you like fruity things? Do you like, what is the flavor profile on the palate that you're looking for? Right. Because I'm not trying to like force our cinnamon and vanilla stout on somebody because they yeah. hate stouts.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's kind of what I go for. It's like, well, are you into lagers? Are you into IPAs? Like, what do you like?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm usually going from there and serving them something in that vein of, I think between IPA sours and stouts and lager, like that's hitting most of the main four quadrants of, I think, what people like mm-hmm. when it comes to beer. Now, if they don't like those things, it's like, okay, well, what kind of whiskey you want?
Just, yeah.
You know, then you're going in a different direction. So
honestly, I'm weird. I feel like my favorite is like farmhouse style, like lambic mm-hmm. stuff. And
oh, yeah.
I feel like it's just not as popular, and so just not as available. And so I feel like, you know, maybe of the however many I've had, I can't yet pinpoint that much of a difference, or that mm-hmm. because I want people to be more like, do more with that. But
yeah,
do brewers not like that? I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, it's very hard to do a good saison and a good lambic or goose. Takes a lot of time. You know, there's some breweries in town here that do a great job with that. Namely, Yazoo's Embrace the Funk, you know, Brandon, and as well as Joel over Barrique. I think they do fantastic sours and barrel-aged sours in particular. But I think it's just, I think those are great, and those are my desert island beers, right? It's just so hard, and then consumers are so willing to just go to the, you know, fruit smoothies mm-hmm. for sours. And so it's like, well, you know, it takes me 3 years to make a good lambic and 3 weeks to make a fruit smoothie beer.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's some of it is the consumer trends. And, yeah. but yeah, like I'm the same way. Like, give me a good Saison DuPont or, you know, anything from Cantillon or Drie Fontanane or Tilquin, and I'm happy. So
just happy with the beer. yeah, it was funny. I took my mom to a craft brewery a couple weeks ago, actually, and she doesn't drink. Like, really anything. She'll have, like, a Coronita once a year with, like, 8 limes in it or something. And I was like, oh, maybe she'll actually really be into, you know, like, the fruit smoothies. Like, maybe it's different. It's not beer enough. Like, beer it's alcohol. Different enough. Yeah, it's beer alcohol. I'm like, maybe she'll just be like, oh, it's a smoothie. Like, yeah, I could do this. One sip. She would like spit it out. I'm like, it's not that bad. It's really good, like objectively. I mean, anyways, but
if you like smoothies,
I keep trying to find, because I think it's what my beer professor said to my class. He was like, there's no one who doesn't like beer. It's just, you just haven't tried the right style yet. And yeah. so I'm trying to take that approach with like my mom, and I've not been winning with that, so I'm just kind of giving up at this point. But we can keep trying.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay, one more question that I just want to know is, do you have like a favorite beer-related memory? It across life, across all things, like, but beer was there and that was an important part.
Yeah. I would say for me, it was probably early on in my craft beer journey. Just sitting and trying a bunch of different, at the time, rare beers, from different breweries around the country. And this is before like craft beer was as huge as it is now. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was just me and a few different friends. And that was when I first was introduced to sours, and, you know, had some Phantom and, some other California sours, with my friends, some of the really high heavy hitters, like, you know, your Bourbon Counties before, and the Goose Islands before they sold out, all that kind of stuff, you know? And so, you know, we just had a big beer share, and it was my first big beer share, trying all these random things I'd never knew existed, you know?
Yeah.
So that was pretty impactful, I would say.
I love that. And that's something else I just love about the industry, is that I feel like it is very collaborative, like brings people together, you know? I mean, I personally go to a lot of breweries alone for what I'm doing. But it's like, you know, just such a social thing, just sharing beer and, you know, trading and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that you want to share? Anything that, you know, you guys have coming up or that you want to plug? Where can people, you know, find you and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So we're in East Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know when this is airing, but, you know, we're trying to do some more events. We're going to do a sea shanty night where we make some shanties, which will be a lot of fun. So if you feel like singing like a pirate, then you can come join us. I don't know. I'm excited to get our events back up and running. You know, we had a lot of music and hanging out. And but yeah, check, you know, sign up for our newsletter if you're interested in barrel-aged beers, because – you know, I've got a lot of stock and I'm trying to continually be releasing something new all the time with that. And then also our lager program, you know, we'll be hopefully releasing something every 3 weeks or so, a different style of lager from wherever. And that's probably what I'm most excited about. We're actually going over to Germany this year to select our own continental hops.
Oh, wow.
With our hop farm, to just kind of like get to try a bunch of different continental hops that I've never had before. So
cool.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, that's so awesome. Well, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me, and telling us a bit more about Living Waters and what you do and talking about the beer and the art and the labels. It's all really exciting. And so just thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. I'll talk to you soon. So I just loved talking to Ryan McKay from Living Waters, the owner of Living Waters Brewing in East Nashville. I literally was just so excited because I love their cans so much. So I loved talking to him and that interview, and that was so much fun. And I really loved when, you know, we were talking about, you know, what they're putting out. And he said that they made a commitment that if it's not good, that they're not going to put it out. And that's kind of their mantra. But they always want to be experimenting and doing new things and kind of pushing the boundaries. And so, yeah, like they want to be known for their beers and their stouts in particular and their quality. And so, I don't know, I just love talking with Ryan. I think I can't wait to be able to get to Living Waters, especially. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that and hope that you're excited for next week's interview. So to make sure that you don't miss it, follow along at Beer Can Lover on Instagram, but also make sure that you follow this podcast wherever you're listening to it. I think on Apple at the top, it's like this little like plus button that if you click, you can click follow. And then on Spotify, I don't really know where it is. And then there's a million other podcast apps. So wherever you listen, follow or subscribe. I would really appreciate it. And make sure you tune in every week. So I will see you next week. All righty. Bye. Cheers.